Welcome to today's deep dive.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, of course. Today is Sunday, March 1st, 2026, and we are putting a highly specific set of notes under the microscope today.
Highly specific is definitely one way to put it.
It really is. And if you are joining us today to get a quick, thorough handle on your curated sources without the usual, you know, fatigue, you are definitely in the right place.
Absolutely.
Our mission is to take the articles, the research, or even just the scattered documents you use to navigate your day and extract the underlying architecture of that information. We want to find the patterns, give you the insights, and basically save you the time of digging through the weeds yourself.
Because it really is about finding the signal in the noise. I mean, in a landscape where we are just relentlessly bombarded by data, true understanding comes from stepping back and looking at how that data is structured.
Right.
And today's source material provides a rather extreme but incredibly useful test of that exact philosophy.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because when I first opened the file you sent over, I had to refresh my screen a couple of times.
I did the exact same thing.
I thought my internet had dropped, honestly. I wanted to make sure it had loaded properly.
Yeah.
Because the document you provided is quite simply titled Pasted Text.
Which is a great title.
It is. But the irony here is that there's no substantive text. There are no paragraphs. There are no data points, no links.
Nothing at all.
The document consists entirely and exclusively of 6 image placeholders. That's it. It is a minimalist skeleton of a digital transfer that just didn't quite make it.
Which is an opportunity disguised as an error.
How so?
Well, the immediate reflex for most people would just be to delete it, right?
Yeah, just assume it's a glitch in the clipboard and try again.
Exactly. But if we slow down and actually look at what survived the transfer, we get a really rare chance to examine the raw underlying framework of digital communication.
The bones of it.
The bones, exactly. We spent all day looking at the content inside the frame, but today we are looking purely at the frame itself.
I love that. And starting right at the top, the title itself, Paste and Text, sets up this really fascinating expectation.
It implies an action.
Right. The word paste implies a physical action.
Yeah.
It's a carryover from the days of literal scissors and glue in newspaper layout rooms.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests you found something valuable in one environment, conceptually grabbed it, and carried it over to this document to save it.
To preserve it for later.
Exactly. Kind of like, it's like buying a new house and hiring movers. You pack up your entire life. The movers carry the boxes into the new living room, and you walk in ready to unpack.
Ready to set up your new life.
And you see all these boxes with highly specific labels on them, mapping out exactly where your things belong. Kitchenware, books.
But when you open them,
when you slice the tape and open the flaps, the boxes are entirely empty.
Wow. Yeah.
The label survived, the intention to move survived, but the physical items just vanished somewhere along the highway.
That is a perfect analogy. And taking that moving box analogy just a step further, the movers didn't just leave a random pile of empty boxes in the center of the room.
No, they didn't.
They placed them in a highly specific, organized sequence. Let's actually look at exactly what was written on that first wave of boxes you sent us.
Right. So reading the first half of the data strictly verbatim, the document starts exactly like this. Bracket. Image underscore placeholder underscore one.
Mm-hmm.
Bracket.
Okay.
Directly below that, on a new line, bracket. Image underscore placeholder underscore two.
Mm-hmm.
Bracket.
Right.
And then directly below that, bracket. Image underscore placeholder underscore three. Bracket.
What's fascinating here is how strictly it adheres to the rules of system architecture.
It's very rigid.
It is. The language of those placeholders is completely utilitarian. You have the use of all caps, which in the back-end digital world usually denotes a macro or a constant.
Meaning it's not meant for human eyes, usually.
Exactly. A macro is essentially a predetermined set of instructions. It is the computer communicating directly with the rendering engine, the part of your web browser, that actually draws the shapes and colors on your screen, demanding that visual data be anchored to these exact coordinates.
And then there are the underscores, tying all the words together. It's a very robotic syntax.
The underscores are absolutely necessary because machines historically struggle with empty spaces.
Right. A space means something else entirely.
A space in a line of code is often interpreted by a computer as the end of a command. So the underscore acts as a structural bridge.
It holds the phrase together.
It binds image, placeholder, and the integer together. So the rendering engine doesn't misread it as 3 separate broken commands.
It's a very clinical way of communicating.
Right.
But then you have the numbers at the end of each string.
The 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. That sequence introduces something completely different to the robotic syntax. It implies a narrative arc.
A progressive.
Right. The person or the system that generated this layout was building a step-by-step logic. It could be a timeline. It could be a three-part instructional guide on how to assemble something.
The sequential numbering strongly suggests a curated journey. Even though the images themselves are missing, the logical skeleton of human thought is preserved in that 1-2-3 progression.
I have to challenge that a bit, though.
Go for it.
Are we giving the system too much credit by calling it a curated journey?
How do you mean?
Well, it's entirely possible this isn't a human narrative at all. This could just be a lazy, automated script, like a basic content management system programmed to just spit out integers whenever a user uploads a batch of files.
Regardless of what the files actually are.
Right. Regardless of whether those files tell a cohesive story, it's just a machine counting items.
That is a very valid point. It could absolutely be an automated script running on autopilot. But consider where that script came from.
A human wrote the script.
Oh, exactly. A human programmer wrote that loop. A human decided that when multiple items are presented, they should be cataloged sequentially rather than randomly scattered.
So the intention is human.
Yes. Even if a machine executed the layout, it is executing a human's fundamental need for order and chronology.
So the footprint is human, even if the machine took the actual step.
Precisely.
That actually makes the geography of this document even more compelling. Because after that third placeholder, the sequence doesn't just keep marching blindly forward.
No, it pauses.
Here's where it gets really interesting. After we reach bracket image underscore placeholder underscore three bracket, there is a deliberate physical line break in the source material.
A complete structural gap.
Yes, an empty void separating the first three placeholders from the rest of the document.
The physical carriage return, that line break splits the source perfectly in half.
It creates two distinct symmetrical phases, a triad on top, a gap, and a triad on the bottom.
Which is brilliant.
It is. Given that you, as our listener, value deep learning without the exhaustion of information overload, this document is a bizarrely perfect artifact.
It really is.
It is the ultimate antidote to data fatigue. It is completely empty, yet perfectly balanced.
It forces a moment of digital zen.
Digital zen, I like that.
But looking at it purely from an analytical standpoint, we have to question the function of that gap.
Why is it there?
Right. In traditional writing, a paragraph break is a visual cue for a mental breath. It signals a transition.
You're moving on to the next thought.
The author is moving to a new argument, a new location, or a new perspective.
It's the physical manifestation of a pause. Like, if you are giving a speech, you stop talking for a second to let the previous point land before you move on.
Precisely. And in visual data layout, a structural pause, like the one after placeholder three, signifies a thematic shift.
So if these weren't empty brackets,
if these were actual images, the first three might represent the problem and the bottom three represent the solution.
Or a before and after scenario.
Yes. The presence of that gap reveals that the framework of our logic is so deeply ingrained that we format our ideas into distinct chapters even before the actual content exists.
We build the bookshelf, put a divider right in the middle, and just trust that we'll eventually acquire the right genres of books to fill both sides.
That's a great way to put it.
Because if this document was just a list of six image placeholders straight down with no line break, it would feel completely different.
It would just be a list.
It would feel like an ongoing, tedious list. The gap creates a relationship between the top half and the bottom half.
Right.
It builds anticipation for the resolution.
It introduces rhythm, and that rhythm carries us across the void and into the second half of the sequence.
So let's read the resolution of those moving boxes.
Mm.
After that physical line break, the document resumes with bracket, image underscore placeholder underscore four, bracket.
The start of the second act.
Right, below that, bracket. Image underscore placeholder underscore five, bracket. And finally, bracket, image underscore placeholder underscore six, bracket.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the most defining characteristic of this final triad is that it actually ends.
It's over.
It stops resolutely at six.
There is no load more button. There is no infinite scroll.
That is a crucial distinction in today's media environment. We are completely conditioned to expect content to be boundless.
The scroll never ends.
Social media feeds, news algorithms, video platforms, they are all engineered to eliminate the concept of an ending.
They want to keep you scrolling in a frictionless, infinite loop.
Exactly. But this source document is a bounded universe. It is a carefully closed loop of missing information. It has a definitive boundary.
It stops at six. It's almost startling to reach the bottom of a page and just be done.
It is rare these days.
But looking at these six empty brackets, it makes you realize how heavily our digital experience relies on these invisible templates.
We see them all the time without noticing them.
When you click a link to a news article, for a fraction of a second before the page fully loads, your screen is covered in these structural placeholders.
The skeleton of the website.
Gray boxes waiting for server data to populate them.
Our entire digital world is basically an arrangement of empty brackets waiting for content injection.
Waiting to be filled.
You have captured a document that froze that microscopic fraction of a second into a permanent state.
So what does this all mean?
That is the big question.
You might have been prepping for a meeting or researching a complex topic, hoping to pull some hard facts from this text.
And instead?
Instead, we are looking at a highly customized, slightly absurd, but profound lesson on the fragility of digital knowledge. You tried to grab hold of something to save it, and it slipped through the digital cracks, leaving only the outline of where the information used to be.
This raises an important question, and it is a critical one for someone who consumes as much varied information as you do.
What's the question?
How often do we consume the format of media without deeply questioning its actual substance?
Well, that's good. We let the layout dictate our trust.
We do. Our brains are wired to equate structure with authority.
If it looks professional, it must be true.
Exactly. If we see a beautifully formatted article, bold headers, neatly aligned image boxes, bulleted lists, a symmetrical layout, we immediately code it as professional.
We let our guard down.
We assume that because the architectural structure is sound, the information housed within it must be true, valuable, and thoroughly researched.
It's the halo effect of good graphic design.
The halo effect, yes.
If it looks like a textbook, we read it like a textbook, even if the text itself is completely hollow.
And in this document, the format is literally all that survives.
The packaging is intact, but the product is gone.
It serves as a stark reminder to separate the two. When we are researching or trying to become well-informed, we have to constantly check our own cognitive biases.
We have to ask ourselves what we're actually absorbing.
Right. Am I actually learning something of value here, or am I just being pacified by a well-organized layout?
Are the arguments actually sound, or are they just presented in a pleasing symmetrical triad?
It is incredibly easy to trust the brackets.
It really is. Okay, let's distill the key takeaways from this journey through the void.
Let's do it.
We started by looking at the title, Pasted Text, recognizing the intent to transfer knowledge, even if the payload was dropped.
The intention survived.
Then we examined the strict utilitarian syntax, that all caps commands, and the underscores holding the code together, and contrasted that with the 1-6 numerical sequence, which points to a deliberate logical progression.
Human logic imposed on a machine.
Right. And we also analyzed the structural gap, that physical line break, separating the first three placeholders from the last three.
The digital breath.
We explored how that symmetrical void acts as a visual breath, proving that we organize our thoughts with pacing and rhythm, regardless of whether those thoughts have actually materialized yet.
Because knowledge isn't just a collection of facts.
No, it's not.
It is the underlying system that dictates how those facts relate to one another. By providing this minimalist document, you stripped away all the distracting facts and allowed us to focus entirely on the system itself.
It is a perfect blueprint of missing data. As we wrap up this deep dive today, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you navigate your week.
Something to take with you.
The next time you are browsing the web and you encounter a broken image link, or you are staring at a gray placeholder box waiting for a slow page to load, or even if you encounter a sudden, unexpected silence in a conversation.
A literal gap.
Don't just reflexively scroll past it. Don't rush to fill the gap with noise.
Let it sit.
Take a second to look at the empty frame. Ask yourself what that space reveals about the underlying systems we rely on every day. Look at the structures that govern your information.
Question the architecture.
And consider this. What would you, as the architect of your own knowledge, choose to project into that void?
That's a powerful thought. Thanks for bringing us such a unique challenge today.
Yes, thank you. Keep questioning the frameworks, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.